Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week and get to spend this hour with you. We're going to have an awesome show today. I tell you, lots of times we don't talk about the time of year or whatever because if people listen to replays, et cetera, but it's actually, depending on where you are in the world right now, it's a spring market in the United States of America. And you know, I think a lot of people are enjoying that. We've had so many changes this year, and today we're going to talk mainly about real estate. So with our show, you know, we talk about real estate and giving back and some other things too, motivational, et cetera. So with all the changes in the market and the interest rate going up 9 times and then down a little bit, I think we have a lot to talk about. We've got Tamara Moultrie is coming on today. She doesn't let the markets affect her in any way, shape, or form, so that is really exciting and a lot to learn for you agents and brokers listening and for the general public too, because we see a lot of fear out there these days in the news and all around. Tamara is a Milwaukee, Wisconsin native and real estate broker who owns 4 virtual real estate companies and in Wisconsin, Illinois, Georgia, and Florida. Tamara specializes in many aspects of the real estate world, which include working with first-time homeowners, traditional sales, and real estate investing, traditional and private mortgage lending, luxury real estate, new construction and real estate development, which is always happening and always exciting. She's also a real estate investor herself, developer, and a Wisconsin real estate instructor who teaches, coaches, trains, and mentors realtors and real estate investors. She also works with a lot of out-of-state real estate investors by helping them to grow their portfolios and provides a one-stop shop concierge service for them. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce Tamara Moultrie. Hey, thanks for coming on today.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me today.
Yeah, it's so exciting. And so what you're doing, I'm very impressed because I've been in this industry a long time and I've seen it all and done every aspect you can imagine. So I love what you're doing. I love your attitude of not letting the market affect you, not letting, you know, you just keep working. We talked about it a little bit before the show and you make it happen. So tell us to start off, give us a little bit of your history, like when you got in, what got you to get into real estate in the first place?
I'm a very straightforward and honest person, and I have to be completely real with everyone who's listening out there because this is a true testimony. I actually was a Milwaukee public school teacher, and my son, he kept misbehaving in school, and while I had those children under control, my own son wasn't under control, and I had to try to figure out a way for me to have a flexible schedule so that I could, you know, go up to the school to see what was going on with his behavior. And prior to that, I had an older brother who's in and out of prison, and he just kept telling me that was their pillow talk pretty much as everyone continued to talk about real estate. And he kept saying, well, hey, real estate is the way you need to go. And even though I didn't know what he was talking about or doing, I started doing my own research. And through that, I learned what a refinance was. And once I learned what a refinance was and understood what I needed to do from that, that's how I got started. So it snowballed from me being the teacher to this flexible schedule that I needed and me doing a refinance. Twice in that year, I was able to pull out $68,000 within a year time. So I refinanced twice. And I was able to get about $68,000 to start using toward putting down payments down on properties. So I became the real estate investor first. That was my first jump into the real estate realm so that I could replace my teaching income.
That's fantastic. Smart, very smart. And was that's in Wisconsin?
So I started off, yes, I definitely started off in Wisconsin. And I did this while I was teaching. And when I was able to replace my teaching income, then that's when I finally left the teaching field altogether, which was about 19 years ago. So at that time, I left corporate America at 32 years old and became a millionaire around that time frame. I ended up with 50 doors of real estate at that time. And during the summer, I was interested in becoming a loan officer, which I ended up doing. So I became a loan officer and learned that business because I had a loan officer that wasn't so great. And I saw her walking around and, you know, she was just kind of walking around and, you know, kind of making her own schedule. And I said, well, this is something else I need to add to my, you know, portfolio of, you know, things to do because I do have 20 plus income streams that are real estate related. And that was just me saying, hey, I don't want to dwell in corporate America anymore, so what I'm going to do is get as many streams that are real estate related as possible. So during the summer
Smart.
When the teachers were out, that's when I decided I would get into this loan officer gig, and that's how I get started with doing the mortgages.
So you learned every aspect of it, which is so important and so good. It's so funny that you said that. You know, the mortgage person was kind of walking around, wasn't that great. I hear so many times where people get in because of what happened, you know, the story that happened or the, you know, experience. Even in the real estate world, you'll find a buyer or seller getting in the business after going through some issues.
That's part of my story, too. I had a lady that I was working with who was my realtor at the time, and she kept steering me away from certain properties. I would do my research, find a property, reach out to her, ask her to show me, and she would turn me away. Oh, this property is not in the greatest area. No, I don't think this is a good investment. And a couple months later, she bought the property. I see where she bought it.
She did not. Oh, that's not good. That's really bad.
Yes, she did.
That's
so
really
that
bad.
Was the other reason why I ended up in the business, because of that reason.
That's horrible. That's
tired.
Really, you know.
Yeah.
Integrity is so important. integrity is so important. I had a client yesterday in Hawaii talking to me about he's doing one of the limited service programs, and he was telling me that he just had a bad taste about agents because he had like three different situations that happened that were bad. And to me, it's horrible. I've been in 38 years, and, of course, I don't work that way. I mean, we've always had integrity, and anyone we work with or work in our membership or as affiliate has to have integrity or they're off our list. And we're not rude about it. We just, you know, you learn after a little while. And he was mentioning where his brother tried to buy a unit in the building, and they told him that the seller wouldn't take the offer, and then they found out later it was sold to the agent's client for like $10,000 less, you know. So these things shouldn't happen in our industry. So tell me, so then you got into that. Did you kind of do the real estate and the mortgages for a little while and just disclose, or did you get out of the mortgage business?
I did them both for a while until the market crashed. Remember, what I did do for a while was just the mortgage piece and the investing piece. So I hadn't come over to the real estate realm yet until the market crashed. Once the real estate market crashed, that's when I kind of gave up the mortgage side of things and I became a realtor. And then I also came over to the private lending sector. So I stayed in lending, but I no longer did the traditional lending. It's experience that I still have, but I'm now only doing real estate investor loans in the private money, bridge loan, and fix and flip space, as well as ground up construction.
Like hard money, too?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So what's the current rate in hard money right now? I guess it definitely depends, but I would imagine it's gone up a lot compared to where it was a couple years ago.
It has gone up a lot. You're correct. It has gone up a lot. But what I always tell people is, can you afford the payment? And I tell everybody the same thing. Oh, well, that interest rate is high. Well, what people need to understand is these rates that have gone up were actually normal rates that we were used to.
We were used to these rates before.
Don't buy over spilled milk. When these were the rates that we had before, yes, Trump got in office, and he significantly reduced the rates, which was a great thing, and everything was good for everybody for, you know, for a certain time frame, but then all of a sudden everything started snowballing and everything went back to normal, and now everyone is calling normal high or expensive or high interest rates, when really that's not even the case.
I totally couldn't agree with you more. I got in 85, so they were just coming out of like 17-18%. And then we would see 9.5% and thought it was great. Even in the 90s, it was usually 9.5% unless you did an arm, you know, and then it went down to 8.5%. So I hear you loud and clear. It's just so funny. 2 and 3%, like who would have ever figured that we would even have gotten that low, you know? So it's funny. It's funny. But I do kind of believe in the buy downs right now, where someone can throw a few more points and buy it down, you know, buy the rate down if they can. So
That's a good idea.
Yeah, to hit it kind of there. It's kind of interesting. So, hey, are your kids grown now or what?
Yes, I only have that one son that was the one naughty son.
Aww.
he's 29 years old now, and that was the only one that I had.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's really good. I bet he was glad you were able to get him straight, huh? Aww.
Well, yeah, and then you know, he became, a homeowner at 18 himself, you know. So, I set him up for him to become a homeowner at 18. As of right now, I didn't get a chance to tell you, with becoming that real estate investor, I ended up with 50 doors of real estate. Right now,
I'm at 40
doors. Thanks.
Wow. So, is that all in Milwaukee or around?
The majority of the rental properties are in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, but I am developing and I'm doing some things in Florida as well. So I'm in the middle of a new construction deal in Florida, already own a new construction condo. I started buying land around when the pandemic started. So I have a couple of plots of land that are quarter acre lots. And then I own a property in Georgia, too, as well.
Oh, that's smart. That's great. Well, tell me, how do you, you've said you have four real estate companies. So in what, Wisconsin, Illinois, Georgia, and Florida, how does that work? Do you have agents under you, or do you do referrals with agents, or how does that work? Just want to let it hear.
Pretty much all of the above, to be honest. You know, I have some agents on the ground. Like in Illinois, I don't have anyone right now, and I haven't been doing much there. When I, you know, first got started, I was too busy, and that's what ended up happening, too, is that, you know, a couple of the states take a little bit more time than others, and I only had minimal stuff going on in Illinois. So really Wisconsin and Florida and a little bit of Georgia, those three states have kept me so busy. So Illinois has kind of been on the back burner a little bit.
Sure.
So the Georgia company, I have boots on the ground there. I have boots on the ground in Florida. And, of course, in Wisconsin, that's my largest team. So that's how I kind of do things. If I decide I want to refer it out, I will. But I'm kind of a different broker, and I'll explain what I mean when I say different, because people seem to think that because you are a broker, you may only stay in one area, and I'm totally different. I'm one of those ones that I will go anywhere my clients want me to go. If it's in Timbuktu and I can fly there and get there and meet them, I do it. I don't do a bunch of referral business because I can come myself.
Right, right. Except you got to be licensed in this. I mean, like, for example, I get called in to consult on problems around the country because we have affiliates around the country, and I'll get called in on problems, but I'm licensed in Hawaii and Maryland. So I'll get boots on the ground in that area, but then, and I can consult on the marketing or go, hey, this looks like the problem. You know, when you know, you can see what the problem was and it hadn't sold for a while or commercial, but then I have other people do the contracts because I'm not licensed in those states. So how do you work that? You just kind of work it out with whomever's there or just kind of?
Yeah, So the states that I'm licensed in, obviously, I do all of my contracts. I'm really one of those brokers that, you know, if I'm not available or on the ground and I can't be, then I just get someone to show the property. But I always do my own contracts. And for people who reach out to me from different states, I'm kind of like you in that regard that I do the consulting and they pay me a fee for the consulting. And, yes, they do the contracts similar to what you do.
Oh, that's good. I try to work the referral fee through the sale through the brokerage because it's so funny. You know, it's so everything's so different, and we're in such a this licensing stuff gets so funny. But that's really exciting. So I had asked you about the market a little bit before we got on, and you said the market didn't affect you. So you've got a lot. It sounds like you've got a pretty big repeat business, referrals, et cetera, and so. And so how does that, you're just rolling, huh? You're not letting the rates affect you, huh?
You're absolutely right. I just never really let the market get me down and bother me because I'm constantly marketing all the time. And if you want me to be completely honest with you, with the way that I am on social media, I have a large social media presence. I have quite a few Facebook groups, really. One of my main ones is called Top Women in Real Estate, and I just made 16,000 ladies yesterday.
That's fantastic.
thank you. So I do a lot of coaching, mentoring, and training right in that group, and I'm also, I have everyone in that group. It's first-time homebuyers, it's attorneys, it's ladies who may be interested in real estate investing, just regular real estate, or there may be people that are in the real estate realm, maybe trying to market themselves or whatever, and that's another way that I create income out of the group by getting ladies in the group to invest, or whether they want to offer their services to the group. I have a paid sponsorship that they can pay for to market their businesses in there. I have a myriad of different real estate-related income streams, and that's another reason why you might hear me say, well, hey, I don't really let the market bother me, or I don't care about what the market's doing. I worry about what Tamara Mutri is doing, and I just keep going.
So you're right, exactly. No, that's perfect, and then you get the people and you know how to do it, and that's really good to have the background with lending. You know, in the old days, we actually qualified the people in the old days because they filled out in the 90s, they would fill out financial information, buyer would fill out a financial information sheet and it would go to the seller and we would qualify even though we put them with loan officers, we'd qualify over the phone or in person. And, you know, it's so different now. Now everything's confidential and you send them right to the, you know, lender and it's a different story, different thing now. So it's really good you have that background to be able to figure out where they're going to go. And then you said also if they can't buy right then, you have a system set up to work with them or have companies work with them to work on their credit as well, right?
Okay, so check this out. I created a Facebook group. Like I said, I have several Facebook groups. So I have an investing Facebook group. I have a credit Facebook group. I have a group called 6-Month Home Buying Challenge. And so, you know, it's kind of levels to this. You know, the people, I make them go and pull a copy of their own credit reports. I mean, I get these inquiries right off of Facebook, and there's people inboxing me day in and day out. And, you know, people can say all day long, well, you know, Tamara, that's great and all, but you don't have a way to kind of monitor that, or you don't really know. But you know what? It hasn't been stopping. So I don't care whether I don't have, if people can't see whether it's scalable or not, because it ties into what I'm doing. So
it ties in totally.
Yeah, so it's Tamara's Credit Clinic. And when I see that the score is not low enough, thank you. So it's Tamara's Credit Clinic. Hey, listen, go to Tamara's Credit Clinic, join the group. There's a short 30-second to 1-minute TikTok. TikTok videos. There are a bunch of letters, dispute letters in the group. Use the search feature for any question you may have about how to fix your credit. You do it yourself. This is free. This is a handshake deal. Nobody is willing to do this for you for free. So now you have the opportunity to do this, and now you can do it for life. And if you decide you want to start your own business doing this, then, hey, have at it. I'm trying to provide value here, and the handshake is once your credit scores are where I want them to be, you come back to me, and then I can get you pre-approved with my preferred lenders.
That's perfect. That's excellent. That's
Thank
excellent.
You.
So you'll be able to help everybody. No, it really makes it really makes a lot of sense because you're taking care of people and you're providing a great service. So that's really exciting.
I can't imagine anybody that wouldn't accept what I'm trying to give them and then go to someone else to work for them. But, you know, there are some that are disloyal. We just talked about that, having integrity. And, you know, this is what they used to say now, and it still kind of rings true a little bit. Buyers are liars and sellers are yellers.
No, you're true. You have to. Well, I like to, for them to sign the contracts and make commitments and things, just because – I've been in a long time, and I delegate out a lot now, this, you know, because of what I'm doing with the transitioning everything and working on our membership. But I really like to have commitment because there's so many people, and you're right, many, especially repeat clients come back and they love you and they know they're going to get, it's going to be great, and they refer you. But I just do like the commitment just because it's a lot of work on all sides, and there's so many people in the industry right now, so many offers from everywhere that it's nice before you put in months and months of work to have some type of commitment, I think, these days. Things have changed, you know, that's all. But that's really exciting. So where do you spend most of what part of Florida are you interested in developing?
Well, the area that I'm interested in developing in Florida is the Lehigh Acres and Fort Myers area. You know, we were ravaged by the hurricane.
I love Fort Myers, yeah.
Yeah. So what I'm looking to do here is I'm actually recruiting investors, and of course I'm investing myself, and I'm getting a group of people together so that we can continue buying land and start building homes for the less fortunate and the people who have nowhere to go. So not only that, I'm helping them to buy new construction, we're building new construction, and we're trying to get people into homes who just couldn't bounce back from the hurricane. Thankfully, my home here in Lehigh, Fort Myers area, was not touched at all. So
that's great.
I thank God for that. But I want to now help the ones who were affected.
Oh, that's great. That's fantastic. Yeah, there are a lot of people. That whole area was pretty...
But as for myself, believe it or not, like I said, I'm a different type of broker, so I bounce around. So I do have a crash pad in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, which is where I'm from. So when I land to go and do business, I have somewhere to stay so that I'm not, you know, trying to go to a hotel, Airbnb, or going to a family's house. I do have a crash pad there. I have a crash pad in Georgia. When I land, I have a home there to go to. And then the rest of my properties. Our rental properties. Mm-hmm.
That's really nice.
Thanks.
That's really good. It sounds exciting. It sounds like you're on a roll. The coaching, we do the coaching too, and it's with the internet and the way you construct it and with group coaching and everything, it's just such a way of the future. I mean, they said it's just coaching in every industry. It's just growing and growing. And then getting the accountability, getting people to follow through is interesting. And it's just, I love it. It's really we've really been able to give people opportunities, right? Where
exactly.
It's so much easier now to get in and do it. That's fantastic. So who helps you? Do you have a bunch of different assistants helping you, or you're pretty much doing it, and then the brokers that help you or agents help you on the ground?
I get a little bit of help from my agents. I get a little bit of help from my husband, because I didn't get a chance to touch on the investment piece as much. So with that one-stop shop concierge service, my husband is kind of the brain of the operation there, because he pretty much communicates with the landlords and takes all the tenant complaints. Once these buyers buy from out of state, they buy the properties in Milwaukee or any of the states. They buy the properties. He's the boots on the ground for them, and we have crews and things like that that do the rehab work, and, you know, he takes all the tenant complaints when things happen, and we have on-call guys that maintenance professionals that go out and take care of issues. So
That's fantastic.
Thank you. And then I have an overseas assistant that helps with a lot of the admin work. So I do a little bit of delegating. Yeah, I still do have a lot of control, but at the same time, you know, I might have a person that goes and takes pictures for me. I may have some of my agents help me do some of the showings if I'm not available to do it. And then, again, my husband does a lot of the management part of it.
No, that's really good. That's really good. Do you have with the markets? What when you have with having 40 doors and then 50 doors? When COVID hit, was that hard? Because I know that, you know, they put moratoriums on a lot of the rentals. I mean, on a lot of properties, so people didn't have to pay rent. So did that affect you?
You know, that's a fantastic question. to be honest with you, I kind of took advantage of the market during that time. I actually bought a bunch of properties during that time, and a lot of my landlords did not have a bunch of issues during that time. I guess maybe a lot of the tenants that we had at the time, their jobs were not as affected like a lot of other people.
Wow, you're lucky.
We didn't have a lot of turnover. In fact, we're having a worse time now than we were when the pandemic was going on. The rents were coming in then, but I think there's been some type of fallout here lately now. I think that a lot of people have gotten used to being home, and they were happy with being at home. So a lot of them have left their jobs and things like that. And just, again, just the fallout of people and just a different breed of tenants and things like that. So we've had to adjust things just here lately. We didn't have the big issues during the pandemic like we do now.
Wow, you're so lucky.
Yeah.
You're so lucky. I had some people in a property that gets vacation rental all summer that right at the end of the winter they asked for 2 months and they never left. We had to cancel our vacation rentals. We lost the whole summer. It was really, it was not good. And And I've heard a lot of people around the country had a lot of problems. Do you guys do Section 8 on some of your rental properties?
You are asking so many good questions, girl.
You are just on the money.
I mean, you know, you're on top of it. You're great. And I was going to touch on that. So you're right on point. Here's the way that I manage those rentals, because this is very important for anyone who might be interested in investing in real estate and they want to deal with multi-units. Or single family. There are some investors that only want to invest in single families for very good reason, and I'll touch on that after I say what I need to say now.
Okay.
With the multi-units, it's great to have Section 8, because in this instance, with COVID going on, the government was still paying, okay? So what I've told my current and future landlords at this point is, if you have like a duplex, property up and a property down, we want to have at least one Section 8 tenant paying, because if you have two private pay people paying and they both stop paying, you're responsible for that mortgage if you have one. One reason why things didn't hit me so hard, I got to be honest, and you can call me a little cheater if you want to, but the majority of the homes that I have now, I'm in a totally different space, because I went on hiatus, Natalie, for 10 years. I got out of the buy and hold game when the market crashed. Yes, I took advantage of the market, but I was actually doing flips. I was helping other investors with their portfolios, but I got out of the game. I liquidated, and I started all the way back over in 2018.
Oh, you're smart. That's smart.
Thanks. And 2018 came, and I got back in the game by doing seller financing. So someone bought a distressed mortgage note, and then they ended up foreclosing on the note, and they gave me and my husband the property. They were someone out of New York at the time, and then they moved to California. And what they did was they actually foreclosed on the note, had me and my husband rehab the property, put tenants in it, and that worked out for about 4 months. And then he had a sour taste in his mouth after it didn't work out after the 4 months. And he said, well, Tamara, I'd rather just have you put it on the MLS and sell it as seller financing. So we went over the details, and I said, hey, this one isn't going on the MLS. I'm going to jump back in the game, and I'll go ahead and take it. So now
that's
on
great.
That duplex property, thanks, in that duplex property, I think I owe about $30,000 on that property, and, I just started over with the rental. I'm getting $950 per unit for that now.
That's good. That's great.
I just got deposits of $950 each unit, so the property is now worth $150,000. I got it in 18,
that's
and
excellent.
I paid $59,900. I paid $60,000 for it.
That's excellent. Yeah, that's excellent. Yeah, and that's
so,
really good. Things went up a lot too. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and it's still going up in Milwaukee. So the single families, you know, in certain areas, it's best for you to have Section 8 only because, remember, you're only dealing with one family. You're only dealing with one set of problems, one furnace, one hot water tank. They pay all the utilities, including the water. The only problem, the drawback with that is if they do stop paying, then you have to foot the bill for the mortgage. And thus the reason why a lot of the landlords are opting for multifamilies where we get at least one of the tenants to do Section 8 so that the mortgage at least still doesn't come out of their pocket.
That's smart. Yeah, that's smart. We're at different stages at different times in our lives, and I've been in 38 years. So I had a property that I just sold 3 years ago that still went up more that was being done vacation Section 8, and I had done Section 8 for many years. But the government changed a lot of the guidelines, you know, as far as if they would do repairs or not, and they weren't doing repairs anymore, you know. So every 2 years, if I had to redo it, I just got to the point I didn't want to do it anymore, you know. But it was definitely higher than the market rate. And, you know, I'd done it for a lot of years. And I helped different people over the years with different properties get on their feet, you know, with the Section 8. So that's pretty interesting. But you find with the government, I guess they're still paying. It's just a lot of, you know, it's changed some than what it was over the years. You know, as far as security
it actually makes the most sense for you, especially in the multi-unit, to have a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Not
right.
All Section 8 and not all private. Yeah, because, but with me, again, like I said, I'm a little cheat sheet. I own the majority of my $4 million portfolio free and clear. I have very few mortgages out there. I've done some subject to deals where I've taken over a couple of mortgages. I had my husband refinance one of them, and we actually pulled out $50,000 on that one, and we're going to be renovating that.
That's excellent.
But we got it for a low number, and, you know, he got tired and just said, where can I overnight you the deed? I didn't give him a dime. He just was tired because he moved to a different state. So I got that deal, and then another lady moved to Arizona. She didn't have a job, wasn't working. I had it listed. It wasn't moving fast enough. I said, hey, what if I just give you $10,000 to just go on about your business and let me keep the mortgage paid up, and, you know, when the rates come back down, somehow refi out of it, and, you know, it'll be done. And so I did that one.
She did it.
And then so I have the rest of the properties that I own are free and clear with the 4-unit, 3-unit, 2 units, duplexes.
That's excellent.
And I also
have a condo.
Yeah, and a townhome. Yep.
That's perfect. No, that's a good situation to be in. And with everything right now, so you're actually bringing in investors in Florida if they want to get in and they get into your Facebook group, basically.
Yes, I have a Burr group. It's called the Burr Group and Everything Else Real Estate Related. That's the name of the group. And that's
Burr?
Where I'm teaching people. Burr, B-R-R-R.
B-R?
B-R-R-R. B-R-R-R. Burr, like
that's
it's
cool.
Cold outside.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's really good. Hey, tell us how everybody finds you, because I know they can find you on Facebook as well. But give us some contact information or whatever you want to do, at LinkedIn or whatever you're comfortable
with. Yeah, I was getting ready to say that. I'm on Instagram. I'm on LinkedIn. I have a public figure page on Facebook. And my personal page is where I would love for everyone to just follow me there. You'll see all my funny posts, all my little snarky posts, and I'm always educating the public in a nutshell. I put a lot of important information on my page a lot, even through all of the joking and the funny memes that I put up, because I don't want to be
That's perfect.
Too pushy and aggressive with, shoving real estate down everybody's throat all the time. I put a lot of funny memes up, too, and that's how I got a lot of followers. And it may pertain to real estate, and it may not. So I put a lot of funny memes, talk about real-life stuff, post about my life. You know, on the contrary, people always have said, oh, you need to keep your business and your personal separate. And, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm always the one with the unpopular opinion, and I always go in the different direction of the crowd. So I say
I do it
differently. I mix my business and personal because I want people to see that I am a real person. I want people to see me having a good time. I want people to see what I'm doing sometimes, not all the time, but you know, if I'm out riding
or
I'm showing houses, I put my life out there, not my full entire life, but a lot of it Facebook does see through videos and through me posting pictures and me going out having a dinner with my husband sometime and, you know, doing videos of the homes that I'm showing. So I have a good social media presence that way. And that's how I'm getting a lot of clients to reach out. So my marketing is free because of that reason.
Oh, I love it. I love it. You know, I think it's really important, and thank God these days we can do more. You know, on our show here, I can talk about God, and no one can fire me. You know what I mean? Just like
exactly.
With my business. And I do believe in that. That's part of what, with Real and Universal Radio, we talk about giving back, motivation, God, you know, other things, and not having to just be, correct and walking a fine line, you know. So I think that's really, my hat's off to you to do that. It's really important
and
to be you.
And I still do it. Natalie, I still do it. I just put up posts up, I think either this morning or yesterday, and I told them, thank God that I have been given the ability to be able to reach out to people and to help and assist them on their real estate journeys. You have to understand, we're helping people with the largest financial transaction of their entire lives. And they're putting
right.
all of their trust in me. I thank God to be in the position that I'm in today. I thank God for all of the prosperity that I have and that
yeah.
I am built to last and to give everything that I have back to others so that I can help pull them up and help them create wealth and build a legacy for them and their families.
That's fantastic. My hat's off to you. It's really exciting. Hey, I'm going to switch around a little bit here and ask you, since it's Wisconsin, Illinois, Georgia and Florida, tell us a little bit about the town, what it's like if for the listeners, sellers and buyers, or just general public, not so much agents. And I'm assuming you're happy to do referrals with anybody anywhere, right, pretty much?
Of course.
For agents.
Of course.
Okay.
Especially these agents out here who might be interested in investing, because Milwaukee is a hot place to invest in, and the reason is because of the returns. Yes. So here we are with the property that just closed this morning. We've got to look and see if it's funded. $80,000 property. The rent coming in is $1,600 a month, and the mortgage payment with taxes and insurance, mortgage, everything is only $400 a month.
Your kit, wow. So,
no.
That's
no,
fantastic.
I'm not kidding. So I have, and you know, it's been kind of really, really exciting. You keep saying exciting, and you don't know how exciting this has been for me to be able to work
right.
with people from all over the 50 states that have been reaching out to me based on what I put on social media and said, hey, I want to invest with you. I have attorneys investing with me right now, police officers getting ready to join my Milwaukee firm. I have an attorney out of Georgia who I have done. Listen to this. I just get so excited about this. Listen, he reached out to me from Facebook. I helped him buy a fix and flip investment property in Woodstock, Georgia. He just completed it for a short-term rental. I helped him with the funding, not just the acquisition, but the funding. So I got him a bridge loan. He used the bridge loan to fix the place up. It's gorgeous, by the way. I'm refinancing him out of the bridge loan. After the bridge loan, he comes to me and says, Tamero, I own a couple of properties free and clear. One of them is in Cartersville, Georgia. He said, I want you to get me a loan on that. I just got him a loan for $150,000. He's using that, and now he's going to look at another property to purchase tomorrow. I have my lady with my boots on the ground in Georgia. She's getting ready to go. 45-minute drive for her to go and do that showing tomorrow for him. And I can't explain how many transactions I've gotten just out of that one person. And I got another attorney out of Washington who just closed this morning, and he has another offer that we just got accepted. Same situation. Downstairs is a daycare. Upstairs is a regular tenant. The whole duplex is family members. They neither one of them are Section 8, but they haven't missed a beat with their rent. Even through the pandemic, they never got behind, nothing. $1,600 rent coming in, that place is $100K.
That's fantastic. That's in Washington State?
No, what I'm saying is that attorney was out of Washington State that's buying it.
Got it. He's buying
but
it.
But this
fantastic.
Property is in Wisconsin. These Milwaukee, Wisconsin properties are the cheap ones. I have clients out of California, Illinois, Utah, Texas, Minnesota.
That's fantastic.
They're coming from all over the place because they can't buy these low-priced properties. You know, they just can't. You know, they can't get in the game buying in their area because
right,
it's too
exactly.
expensive.
No, exactly. Well,
one
what
house
is, like
California
in Milwaukee, for example, what kind of appreciation every year? I know, well, let's take it back a step. In with COVID, things went up like crazy the last 2 years, right? You know, the 2.5 years. But on an average, what would it be normally, the appreciation level in Milwaukee? So if they buy it today for $150,000, I know you can't commit to it because we're, you know.
I'm going to be honest with you. I can't really say, but I'll tell you this. I just read something the other day, and I've been watching our market for the last few months, and they put up something in the news letting us know which markets were still stable and which markets were appreciating. And I happened to find Milwaukee on that list. And just the other day, something came to my email and said that our property values are up 11% in Milwaukee right now. They said Milwaukee is one of the places where we should not see any lack of appreciation. In fact, we are going to continue to keep moving up. And I think part of the reason is because of all of the real estate investors that see Milwaukee as a good place to invest. And another thing is, you know, we have a shortage of inventory. So with that drives
right.
up prices as well. We got a little pushback on some of the people who are saying that the rates are high. But, again, we talked about this on the call when we got on, and you talked about there's options where we can buy down the rate, even especially with new construction. We can buy down
exactly.
the rate with points and, yeah.
Okay,
so
that's fantastic. That's, yeah, really smart. Now, I've got another quick question before I go to another state. I'm getting is can you believe we got about 15 minutes? It goes by so fast. We have to get you back also. So when you're saying you're working with investors, is it specifically mainly in Milwaukee? Like, for example, they want to buy and they want to invest, or are you guys sometimes going in partners with people on something?
So here's the thing. I'm willing to – when I do my private lending, because remember, I'm a private money broker as well. So they may
right.
have a real estate professional already that they're working with, and they could write their offers and things, but they may need me for the funding. So I'm working
okay.
with investors in all 50 states except North Dakota and South Dakota. So I'll do that. And
oh, I love it.
Thanks. So, again, that goes back to my one-stop shop thing. So I'm helping them
Got
to invest, and if they have a realtor already, I'm fine with that. I'm just doing the lending piece. As far as partnering with people, I do wholesaling. I do subject twos. I do just about everything that's real estate related. So I'm helping people. If they want to partner, I may partner. It just depends on what it is. But for the most part, most people want to kind of do it on their own. They just want me
right,
to help with
right.
the acquisition.
They just want you to help them to facilitate it and get it all done. That makes so much sense. Yeah, I loved
mm-hmm.
it. This is exciting. Yeah, I'll have to talk because we have affiliates in different states. They, a lot of our affiliates will do a menu program. So if you're literally involved in everything, then it's full service, traditional. You get paid commissions and all that. If they're doing a lot of it and you're just doing some consulting in the state you're licensed in, then it's different. They get some credits or buyer rebate credits, et cetera, like that. But I want to let them know because, this is exciting, very exciting. Okay, so Illinois, pretty much, Illinois, is that still a good place? Kind of, I mean, we can't, being brokers, we can't say, well, this is a good place, this isn't a good place. But, I mean, is Illinois still kind of hopping? I know you said you aren't doing a lot right now there. But as far as somebody, say, buyers, sellers want to move into an area, is it?
Well, of course, everybody is still going to move no matter what the situation is. Illinois is a place that, I got to be totally honest to say it's kind of bad for investors for the same reason why it's bad for investors in New York, Washington, California.
Right.
Those are, you know, landlord-tenant laws are very, very lean toward the tenant.
Right.
So it's a tenant-friendly place, and they can't seem to get over
that. That can be a problem. Yeah.
Right, that 1% rule, they're not able to hit it. So a lot of investors, that's the reason why they have started to get out of that area to invest because they have money that they want to deploy, but they don't want to deploy it there because you just can't get a good return on your money there unless you are doing some type of flip activity. Or, you know, people want to do this for retirement, for buy and hold, and they can't do it in those states, and especially if the tenant is going to stay in your place for 16 months without paying and the state
horrible.
Is going to allow them to do it, then they don't want to invest in those places.
No. I mean, what happened with COVID? I mean, all around the country where there were moratoriums, I mean, it took a lot of people out that had, you know, not they didn't have 40, 50 doors of people that you'd hear about them having two or three retired, and then they still, but they had mortgages either from because they refinanced, you know, it took money out or whatever, and it hit hard. It hit hard because I think the moratorium was like over 13 months at least. It was really crazy in my opinion, but I mean, it made sense if they were helping people get money, but it was just really not a good time. Okay, so let's flip over to Georgia. What part of Georgia are you in? Or
well, remember, yeah, well, remember, I'm a different type of broker. I will go wherever my clients ask me to, and this is, again, what makes me different because you hear brokers and agents all the time that say, well, I'm only doing South Georgia and I only do Henry County. Well, me,
right.
If somebody says, Tamara, I want you in Timbuktu, Georgia, can we do something there? I'm working with them wherever they want me to be. So, yeah, I have a home down near Henry County and Clayton County that, again, I own free and clear or whatever. But I'm willing to go wherever. So, for example, my client now, who I'm refinancing out of the Woodstock property. He's looking at something else again in Woodstock. That's about an hour or so away from my home, which is in Jonesboro, Georgia. I have a home there. I bought that in 2013 for $40,000, and it's now worth about $250,000. Don't owe anything on it. Needs work, and I could probably sell it at about $150,000, $160,000. To try
as
to have an investor to do it. That's the after repair value on it, $250,000. But and I'm trying to decide whether I want to keep it or not. But Georgia is a market that has been extremely inflated, like a lot of other places, like Texas and Arizona. Here's why: because those people from California have decided they. Listen, they've had enough of California. You know, I'm not trying to hate on California, but, you know, a lot of people are tired of the shenanigans. So they said, hey, I paid $300,000-$400,000 for my house. I'm over it. I can sell my house at $1.5 million. walk away with the cash. They've come down to Georgia. They see all of that land, and now they're paying $500K for a property. This is what really made the market go up in a lot of places, because these Californians came down.
You know, California, oh, yeah, California, New York, they were starting to go to Vegas, Arizona. You're saying Georgia,
that's
right? Florida.
Georgia, Florida,
yes,
all those places. No. And that's what happened. So that's why what took the values up, especially with people that were working from home. They said, oh, work from
right.
home. Now I can go and move. I can move anywhere. Oh, well, I'm tired of this. Now I can, you know, I don't have to downsize anymore. I can go get more house. The interest rates
right.
were great at the time. So a lot of people got more house, and, you know, they'll probably never see those interest rates again. And that's what
Isn't
made
that funny?
The market go up. Yeah.
No,
so
I totally agree. I totally agree.
$200,000 over the asking price. $200,000
yeah.
over the asking price in
Crazy.
Georgia. So no, but that's the hard part. Our other clients,
yeah,
can't afford it. They
sense.
Can't afford the prices now. So that's the sad part.
Because what about Atlanta, Georgia? Though I know a lot of the acting. There's a lot of acting done there. So that seems like a pretty interesting place.
It's bad though.
The city.
The market is terrible.
In Atlanta?
No, yeah, because nobody can buy anything. I mean, these first-timers, they're squeezed out of the
oh,
market now.
It's just too expensive. Yeah.
It's called the Hollywood. It's another Hollywood area, you know, similar to California. Lots of the Californians
right.
are moving to Georgia.
Right.
You know, Tyler Perry has
right.
a studio and
right.
all this acting
right.
stuff going on. It's a hot spot. So, yeah, you
that
can't
makes
buy
total
anything.
Sense.
You know, you can barely buy
no,
anything under $350 there. Yeah.
Oh, it just makes sense. Oh, my gosh, we're coming down almost to the end of the show, and I've got to have you back. And this Tamara Moultrie on, it's so interesting. Let's flip over to Florida then. Florida, see, I've been in Hawaii for years, and I'll go back and forth Hawaii and Maryland because I'm building our membership and being on the mainland, it's easier to hop on planes. And I do a lot virtually because I built it up for so long in Hawaii. Hawaii's the same thing. It's very, very expensive. It's very, very expensive. It's just, and a lot of people come in from California, Canada, and out of the country. So Florida has always been like the go-to place for the snowbirds. Get out of the winter. You know what I mean? Just come. And then. So what do you think? So what do you think about with Florida? Now, I personally like the Gulf side as a personal decision more than the East Coast. But that's just personal. But as far as Florida, it seems that prices are still good in places, and then they've gone up and down and around. What's your take on that? I know you said you're working on development in Fort Myers, which did get hit hard. I'm glad you didn't get hit hard. Do you mm-hmm. find a lot of good deals because things got hit hard there, or what?
Yeah. Not really. I don't see much. Whatever was put on the market for people who decided to walk away was snatched up very quickly. There's a lot of big-time developers that have come down to Fort Myers Beach. And, you know, Fort Myers Beach, as we know it, is going to be turned upside down because it's going to be more commercialized. People were down there getting discounts on the land. So, you know, all these land developers and what they're planning to do with it, I think they're going to be putting a lot more luxury-type condos down there instead of, you know, the kind of old-time feel, you know, with actually owners owning their big mansions and things. So for people who were washed
right.
out, for people who decided that they didn't want to rebuild, you know, and hoping that the insurance paid them out, they're just taking their money and running, or they're coming more inland. And, you know, the developers, they have a plan in mind. You know, there's more
right.
construction that can be built now to combat the hurricane now. So all you do is get a builder that has all the hurricane proofing, and now they're set. They have nothing to
right.
be concerned about because it's built to last through any type of hurricane. So with that being said, Fort Myers Beach is going to be all the way different, you know, as we used to know it. It's going to be totally just different. The prices everywhere in Florida are still up. This is one place that, you know, the prices just, I put it like this. I have a client right now who I'm trying to get into a multifamily. If she tries to get a single family, she won't be able to get anything. But as a multifamily, I'm still having a problem, and she's pre-approved at 450.
Right. Down there?
That's a big number. That's a big number.
Yeah, it is.
At 450, and I can't find her anything. And, yeah, it might be the areas that she's in, you know, Fort Lauderdale, Pompano Beach, you know, West
right.
Palm. I'm not able to find anything
no,
for her
no,
right
I know.
Now.
I'm very familiar with those areas. You know,
yeah.
I agree with you. You know, you just wonder. It's really gone up so much everywhere. It's really amazing.
She's a nurse, and I can't find her a thing. And whenever I do find something, then they don't want to work with us. I mean, she's FHA, and it's like, here we go again. We're looking for some closing cost assistance, but we can't even find a property to even try to get into. It's just not, yeah.
That's a shame.
So I was fortunate enough to just get a condo. We got a new construction condo in a subdivision, and it was extremely cheap at the time that we got it.
I'm
very happy to have gotten in when I did, and of course now you know the price it has doubled in equity since we've gotten it.
Great, congratulations!
Thanks.
Wow, that's exciting. I love what you're doing. We'll have to do some business together, too, and I'll refer people to you because I love this. I love your energy and the way you're thinking and how you're building and, you know, punting and stopping when you need to and getting back in when you're supposed to. That makes a big difference, you know, in our industry to kind of be able to gauge it, even though I do believe, like you said, get, you know, always be in doing something and not let it stop you. I love it.
Thank you.
It's exciting. You're welcome. We've got like about 4 minutes left, and because at the end I always like to let you know and tell us what you would like to tell anybody. Say somebody's, because at different times in your life, when somebody's older, they might want to start downsizing and liquidate their properties, maybe put it into a REITs, you know, in the stock market type of thing. When somebody's 20, 30, hey, that's the time to build and buy. Given today's day and age, what would you tell somebody that's 30 right now? Would you say really, you know, invest in a little bit of everything, still look at the real estate, hang tight for a while? What would you tell somebody that's 20 or 30? Because it's going to be different if you're in your 70s.
Well, I'm sorry, but in the 30s, I'm extremely biased. Right now I have
– I love to hear this, but okay, go ahead.
I can't help it. I'm biased. I'm telling everybody to do real estate because here's the thing. I have people right now that I'm coaching, mentoring, and training that are in their mid to later 20s, and they're already up to 5, 7, and 11 doors. So I can only imagine where they're going to be when they get to be my age. And they
That's
are
great.
Building, and they just keep buying multifamilies. I have, like I said, mid-20s. I got one guy who was 27 or 28 years old. He's already up to 11 doors. And so, again, you can go ahead and buy and hold. You can keep it for a while and sell it. You got to build for your retirement now because when they get to be our ages or a little later, there may be no retirement left. A teacher called me today. He says, Tamara, I want to buy another property. He said, I got to get out of here. He said, I've been teaching 20 years, and I got to get out of here. The lady retired, he said, she's only going to be getting $1,000 a month. And if she stays another 5 years, she'll only be getting $3,000 a month. With me and my lifestyle, that's no money. I can't.
Right,
I'm glad
I agree.
I got out of teaching when I did.
Right,
I
hear you.
Real estate, that's where it's at. Buy, sell, flip, buy land development, flip it, wholesale it. I wholesaled the whole package of properties, and I got a wholesale fee for $160,000.
Awesome.
That's why I own so many properties free and clear. It wasn't even with my own money, but that's for another day.
Yeah, we got to have you. Let's have you back and talk about that. Let's have you back and do a show just on wholesaling.
Mm-hmm.
That would
be
awesome. Yeah, I love
it. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Thank you. You are wonderful, and we have to have you back. And this is Tamara Moultrie. And, oh, my gosh, you're just amazing what you're doing. And so many can learn from you. And want everybody to look you up on the Facebook, LinkedIn, et cetera, and also can contact us as well at reallydiversal.com, and we'll give them your information. And let's stay in touch and get you back. And you have a wonderful weekend.
Okay. Well, I'm delighted to have been on here. I thank you so much for having me. I'd love to come back. I look forward to it. And for anyone else out there that was listening, I'll be happy to assist you with whatever, and thank you for listening.
Absolutely. This is heaven. I love it. To everybody out there, I wish you peace. See you all later.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.